As I mentioned, this Sunday that we celebrate every year as Christ the King Sunday always falls the Sunday before we begin Advent, the last Sunday of the church year, which begins in Advent. But to me, it's always been interesting that this Sunday, which is about remembering that Christ is our King and our Savior, also at least every 4 years falls pretty closely after Election Day. And certainly this year, but every 4 years, maybe every 2 years, we can get so wrapped up in election, wrapped up in choosing leaders. And that's not a bad thing. We should be engaged in that process. But I love the perspective that at least as election season and all that chaos is winding down, hopefully, by this Sunday, we get this perspective, Christ the King. And of course, we don't have kings anymore. We haven't had a king in this country for over 200 years. And yet, so when I hear passages talking about kings in Scripture, I often put in president or, you know, senator, representative, governor, whatever sort of leader we have out there. And so to me, both these readings offer us an interesting perspective, I think especially after this most recent presidential election with all of its divisiveness, which may unfortunately be continuing for a while. And that perspective is, again, who is our true king? Our true ruler. Part of that reminder is, as I hope you noticed on the November church calendar, that verse from one of the Psalms, do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. One of the dangers of our, at this point, seemingly almost endless election process, and all of the emotion and energy that it can generate, is it can make us think that the world depends on the outcome of any particular election. And it may seem that way at times. But although we've elected a lot of presidents in this country's history, there have been very few of them who actually lived up to many people's expectations and the hype. There have been very few of our presidents that I think we could say actually saved this country. You know, the obvious two choices are Lincoln and Washington, with maybe a few others you could think of that came in at a particular time and at least turned things around. I like to mention Washington because I think Washington may be unique in the world's history as a leader, because not once but twice Washington voluntarily gave up power. There's a few other rare examples through history, but that's pretty unique. Anyway, but we can get caught up in all the rigmarole sometimes. And so at least every 4 years since I've been a pastor on Christ the King Sunday, I like to offer a reminder that no human being is going to save us or destroy us. At least none's been able to yet, with one exception of Jesus as a human being. And so 8 years ago, when Barack Obama was elected, there were many who thought, now we're in a post-racial country. You know, all racism will just be gone with this election. And of course, that was, in retrospect, almost a ridiculous hope. Not a bad hope, but to put that hope in any person, it's misguided. And to think somehow that Donald Trump is going to save or destroy this country is probably a little bit hyperbolic as well. But the point is, every president, any leader, always ends up disappointing a large segment of the population. Every human being ends up disappointing other human beings. We're imperfect. Do not put your trust in human beings who cannot save. That's part of the message of these readings, I think. I mean, here was Samuel, who had been a judge, really the last of the judges of Israel. And the interesting thing about judge in the history of Israel is it's a term, it's slightly different than how we think of judges today as judicial figures. They were, but the judges were people who sort of rose out of the tribes of Israel, were given authority by the people. It grew out of the people, and they weren't necessarily ruling over the people. They were offering guidance. Some of them offered military leadership, but they would kind of rise up, and then when the danger had passed, many of them were not needed anymore. But the people of Israel come to Samuel, and it's interesting that Samuel's sons cannot live up to their father's good, honorable service. They're too interested in money and material gain, Scripture says. So the people come to Samuel and say, you know what, we're done with these judges. It's too loose. It's so nebulous what the judges do. We want a king. Give us a king who will have all sorts of authority. Give us a king. Other nations have kings. Why can't we have a king? We want to be like other nations. We know God chose us. We're supposed to be special, but we don't want to be that anymore. Give us a king like all the other nations. And Samuel says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Do you know what a king would do? With that authority, the king's going to rise up, going to take a tenth of all your stuff, going to turn your sons and daughters and you into slaves. You know, this authority you want this king to have, it's going to come back to hurt you. And the people say, we don't care. We want a king. We want to feel secure. This battle between freedom and security. We want to be secure. Give us a king who will tell us what to do. Notice what they say. We want a king not just to be like other nations. We want the king to govern us and fight our battles for us. We don't care if you take away our freedom. We want the security of a king. And Samuel goes to God and says, you know, what am I supposed to do with these people? And God says, you know what? They want a king, give them a king. Because Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're really rejecting me. Their real king. I've been their king since day one. I brought them out of Egypt safely. I have blessed them at every step along the way. And at every step, they keep wanting something more, something else, a different God. So God says, give them their king. And let's see what happens. And so Israel gets their king. And I won't give away the rest of the story. I'll let you go read it. It does not turn out particularly well. But I think there are two messages here in these readings. The first, and I've been alluding to them both, the first is, do not put your ultimate faith and trust in any earthly king, president, person, party. Those things cannot ultimately save us. They will always let us down, disappoint us. But then there's the other side, that we don't need to put our ultimate faith and trust and hope in any earthly ruler, president, party, authority. Because we already have a king and a savior. And this gets us to the beautiful prayer and hymn that Zechariah offers, that Suzanne read for us. Note, remember, this is Zechariah saying this to his infant son John the Baptist, the messenger of the Savior, who hasn't even been born yet. But notice what Zechariah says, and it's very similar, I'd never noticed this until this week, to what Jonah prays in the belly of the whale. Remember last week, Jonah's in the belly of the whale, and he prays a prayer of thanksgiving for his deliverance, which hasn't even happened yet. But Jonah says, the Lord has delivered me. It's almost exactly what Zechariah says. The Savior's not even born yet. And he says, the Lord has delivered us and has lifted up a mighty Savior for us. It's a reminder to us, especially 2,000 years later, we already have a King and a Savior. It's done. We've actually already been saved. Now, we're in that kind of not yet period, waiting for the second coming of that King and Savior. But we humans, it must be part of our nature. We keep looking around for more. Give me an earthly King, an earthly Savior. Let's put our hope in them. We can see them and touch them. But the message of this Sunday, the message, I think, of these readings is, we don't have to keep trying to find our salvation in any person here or any organization here. We can relax, at least in that regard. The message of this Sunday, I think, is don't get too enamored of or afraid of any earthly ruler, but put our trust, be reminded again to put our trust in God, in Jesus, our true King, in Jesus who has come, Jesus who will not ever disappoint us, who has promised blessings we can't even begin to imagine. Put our trust and our faith and our hope in Jesus, who already is the ruler of all that is. Of Jesus, who is our true King and who has already saved us. We don't have to keep looking. Amen.